John chapter 13, and in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1134, I'm sorry, make that 1135, and beginning with the 33rd verse, we will read responsively through verse 38. John chapter 13, verses 33 through 38, and may we, as we always do, stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. The 37th verse is the text verse for today's message. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And may we pray. And Father, what a good day this is. Thank you for thy graciousness in giving us this great church. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful congregation, these good people, many with whom we meet Sunday by Sunday. Some who are guests with us, visiting us today, we pray that this assemblage might know the special outpouring of thy power, that which is so essential to our gaining that from thy word which thou wouldst have us to have. Bless, we pray, this hour, bless our preacher, and anoint our hearing to the hearing of thy word and the doing of that which thou wouldst have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to, without your even turning to it, I want to read just one of the verses that we read just a while ago. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, when your plant never blooms. When your plant never blooms. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter couldn't understand that. Peter couldn't understand why he couldn't go too. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. The message that I'm going to bring this morning will not apply to everybody. It will, however, apply to many. I want you to follow me very carefully. I'll say something a little more like this tonight, or a little more about this subject tonight. But it may be that, well, the truth is, most of you will find this message does not apply to you this morning. But listen to it and put it in the file of your memory. You'll need it one day. There'll be a day when every person here, life's trials may not have arrived on the scene at your place yet. The realities of life may not have taken a toll on your life yet, but mark me, they will someday. And there'll be a day when you're going to need this message, so find it in your memory. Our Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, these next few moments. And I pray that each of us shall listen, realizing this is God's Word. And I believe with all of my heart God's message for this hour. And so I give myself to you, take my mind, clear it of that which ought to be cleared, and fill it with that with which it ought to be filled. And then for the same thing I pray for myself, I pray for those who are here today. Give us those things thou didst plan for us before we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Very intently listen to the first few statements. Jesus is going away. He is at the table in the upper room. Peter was saying something like this: Lord, I can't understand this. Why can't I go with you and do the thing for which I was trained to do? Basically, he was saying this: Lord, I've been sitting in your school for 3 years or more, and you've been training me. Now then, you're going away. I have nothing to do. It just didn't make sense why Peter was not allowed to finish what he started. He said, Lord, why would you train me 3 years and not stay here and use me or let me go with you where you go? You trained me to be your follower. Now you're leaving. Let me go with you, or you stay. He was saying, why can't I finish what has started? I've been trained for these 3 years. You know, I have not been preaching much. I've been following you. Now, I have my diploma from your university. I have my degree from your college. Now, why can't you let me use that which I have learned? You see, it was fine with Peter as long as he saw the completion of what he started. Then suddenly, an iron curtain falls over his path. And Peter says, I don't understand this. Lord, you led me away from my fishing nets. You led me away from my father and my mother and my family. You led me away from my chosen vocation. You told me you'd train me. Now I'm trained. Why can't I finish what was started? Why can't I see the completion of that which has been begun? Now let me tell you what he's saying. You watch a little plant grow. You take a little plant and transplant it somewhere in your yard or in a pot at home. And you watch that little plant grow. You see its woody fibers. And you see its strong roots. But it's no problem for you to wait, because there's something that you know will someday come on the end of that plant. One morning, a lovely, deep red flower blazes in full bloom. Now, as long as you have the hope for that flower to bloom, are you listening? As long as you have the hope for that flower to bloom, you're patient with that plant. You get up in the morning and you water that plant, and it's nothing. It's not attractive much to you, but you picture that there'll be a bloom out yonder, a beautiful fire red flower will be on the end of that stem one of these days. And as long as you see the hope that that flower will someday be on the end of that stem, you don't mind. But suppose the flower never comes. Suppose you pot that plant. You nurture that plant. You see its fiber. You notice its roots. But you are made pleased because of what's going to come. There'll be a beautiful flower one day, and when that flower comes, it'll be worth it all. But let's suppose, as I said a while ago, the flower never comes. That's what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, Lord, my plant is not going to bloom. I've been watered. I've been transplanted from the profession of my choosing to becoming your follower. And I don't understand it. Why can't I finish what I started? Why can't I see the fruition of my training? Now, you're going up there, or going away. I'm staying here. You're not here to let me work for you, and I can't go with you to work for you there. I don't understand it. Let me illustrate. A little lady, are you listening? A little lady fell in love with a fine young man. This is a true story. I saw this happen with a fine Christian young man. I do not know of a lady that read more books about marriage in my life than that little lady did. She said, Brother Jack, all these years I have dreamed of marriage. When I was a little girl, the one thing I wanted to do more than anything else was to be a wife. And Brother Jack, I've studied about it. When I was a youngster, I read books about how to be a good wife. Now, she said, so she found this fellow. He asked her to marry him. Fine. The whole neighborhood was pleased about it. One of those marriages where everybody felt she was the one for him, he was the one for her, finest young people in the neighborhood, as far as we could. You know. And they were engaged, the wedding date was set, the cake had been ordered, the dress had been made, and suddenly, the groom, would be groom, was taken with a serious illness and died within a week of the wedding day. And that little lady had a big, long wedding dress draped over her two arms, and she was holding them like this. And she said, Brother Chai, why? Why? All of my life I've been trained to be a wife. All my life I've dreamed of being a wife. Why can't my dreams be fulfilled? I'm trained. If anybody ever has trained and planned and studied to be a good wife, Brother Jack, I've been the one. Now, there, within a few feet of us, was the dead body of her fiancé. And there she was looking at his cold face and holding that unused wedding gown. That's what Peter was saying. Peter was holding a little plant that had never bloomed. And he said, Lord, why can't it bloom? I mean, you've nurtured me. Why can't it bloom? He was holding, as that young lady, the wedding dress and said, I've been trained to be a preacher. I've been trained to follow you. I've been trained to serve you. And now, the training is over, and you're leaving. I can't go with you, and you won't stay here. I don't understand it. There are people all over this house this morning who are sitting right where Peter was. And you're standing this morning, sitting right this morning where that little lady was with the unused wedding gown and the corpse of her fiancé within a few feet of where we stood and the wedding gown draped across her arms and tears streaming down her cheeks and dropping on the gown that she hoped to wear in less than a week. And she said, I don't understand it. Married and wanted a baby, the like of which I've never seen. I've never seen a woman want a baby like she did. They prayed for years they could not have a baby. Finally, the good news came that she was pregnant. She read every book she could about motherhood. Everything she could find, she read about rearing a child. And the day came when the baby was born. The baby lived less than 5 hours. And I went to the hospital to see her, and she said, Brother Hiles, what's bad about this is the doctor says I can only have one. Only one. Now the doctor says I can never give birth to a baby again. My dreams of a lifetime have been to be a mother. For less than about 5 hours, I was a mother. Why would God have let me learn and study and given me these hopes? Why? If I could never finish what I started. I know young ladies who wanted to marry. They dreamed of marriage. But the right one never came along. Now they're not young ladies anymore. And they longed to be a mother and a wife. They longed to have children, the husband. And they're prepared to. Some of the finest, sweetest, loveliest women in this church are women who've never married. I like what Dr. Bill Rice said. Some guy got up at Bill Rice Ranch one time and he said, "Hey, you old maids." Dr. Bill got up and said, "Buddy, Any one of these women could have married if it had settled for what your wife settled for.
I mean, to the finest, I'm talking about loveliest, finest ladies in this room. And they planned and hoped and all. I don't know what it is in your life that for which you have planned and prepared and studied that is not coming to fruition, and the incompleteness is breaking your heart. I don't know what it is, but all over this room this morning, there are hundreds of people who sit today and say, I'm prepared, I'm ready, I started. And like Peter said, I understand, I can understand it, Lord. I mean, 3 years I followed you. Listen, I left all and followed you. I left my profession. I left my faith. You told me I had to leave all and forsake all. And you told me I had to almost like hate my mother and father and brother and sister. And I did it. And I followed you. And now you're leaving. And I'm here. I can't go. You won't stay. And I'm not going to get to see the fulfillment, the completion of what I've started.
Young lady said to me as she passed by the casket of her husband. He had been in Hiles Anderson College, I think, 3.5 years. Was driving from work one morning. Went to sleep at the wheel, I think. Had a wreck and was killed. His little wife looked at his body. She came by to say goodbye to all that was left that could stay here on earth. Looked at his body and she said, Brother Hiles, why would God let my husband almost finish college to be a preacher and never preach a sermon?
Why would God let my husband almost finish college and prepare himself to be a pastor, never one day pastor a church? Why?
I'd like to give you three whys, or three answers to that why. I want to encourage the hearts of many of you that are holding an unused wedding gown.
Many of you that are looking at a crib that will never be occupied. Many of you that are looking at dreams that you once had that have been spattered on the pavement
of providence. You wonder why, as Peter did, why can't I finish what I started?
Why can't I use what I have?
Number one, why? The training may be the purpose. The training itself may be the purpose. I said the training itself may be what God is doing for you.
Remember, when we were in the army, let's think about something else. You fellows wouldn't know because you've never been in the armed forces. But remember in the army? Do they still do this in the Navy? Fellas, do they still tell you, go over here and dig a hole 6 by 6 by 6? They ever tell you to do that? You go over there, well, of course, you're not man enough to dig a hole that big. Let's go down to 2 by 2 by 2. And they'd say to us, go over here, Hiles, dig a hole, 6 by 6 by 6. Spend the day. I go over and I dig. And,
man, I just didn't dig yet.
But anyway, I dig. And get through. And the next morning, Captain Fuller would say, Hiles, have a special duty. What is it? He'd say, fill that hole up today.
I understand it.
Next morning, he'd say, we got a stack of bricks over here on this side of the road. One more of you over here on this side. And we'd spend a whole day bringing the bricks over here. And then the next morning he'd say, Hiles, now I want the bricks back
on the other side. Don't you see what I'm trying to say? Now those bricks, where those bricks were didn't matter a great deal, and where that hole was didn't matter a great deal. The thing that mattered was that I needed to work.
I needed to learn to obey. I needed to learn to not be insubordinate. I needed to do what the captain said. See, they were trying to train an army in those days to win a war. That's back in the days when America believed in winning wars. I mean, we had some real patriotism and loyalty and courage back in those days. And they knew that if we had loyalty on the battlefield, we'd have to have loyalty in the training camp. And so they said, dig a hole, fill it up, dig a hole, fill it up.
Just maybe that God has let you start something you cannot finish, or train for something that you will never be able to use to make you a better person. I want to say this, hear me carefully. If Peter had never preached the sermon, he'd been a better man for being trained at Jesus' feet.
If Peter had never pastored the church, he'd been a better man for walking with Jesus for 3 years. If Peter had never, never been a preacher of the gospel, had Peter never preached on Pentecost, never preached in Antioch, never preached in Jerusalem, if Peter had never won a soul to Christ, he would have been a better man.
I was out in California not long ago. One of our Howells Anderson College graduates was there. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Have a job, secular job." And I said, "What did you major in college?" He said, "I majored in pastoral theology." I said, "Well, why aren't you doing something full-time for God?" He said, "Never went there to do something full-time for God." I said, "What did you go there for?" He said, "To get a degree in pastoral theology." Well, I said, if you don't plan to pastor, why didn't you study something else? He said, "I believe that if I went to Hiles Anderson College, though I was not called a pastor, and though I was never going to preach, I believe if I went to Hiles Anderson College and stayed there for 4 years and took the pastoral theology major, I'd be a better man at whatever I was going to do." Peter had done nothing but stay with Jesus for 3 years. He'd be a better man for it. And this fellow said to me, if I had to do over again, I'd go back to Hiles Anderson College and take the pastoral theology major and train and get the same training those preachers get. Because whatever I had done with my life, I could do it better with the training and discipline I got as a pastoral theology major at Hiles Anderson College. There's a second reason. Peter said, "Lord, why? I've started. I can't finish it. I'm on my way. I've got training. I've been with you 3 years. And you're leaving. I can't go. You won't stay. What am I going to do with this? The unused wedding gown, if you please." Second answer. The training may be for another task. This week I was down for a few hours at Nashville, Tennessee for the annual board meeting of the Sword of the Lord Governing Board. I met there one of my favorite people again. Her name is Viola Walden. Viola Walden is now in her 70s. She's been working for the Sword of the Lord over a half a century. When Viola Walden was a teenage girl, she went to work for Dr. John Rice. She gave her life to work for Dr. John Rice. Wait a minute. But she wanted to be a wife. She wanted to marry, have children. After she had worked for Dr. Rice for several years, Dr. Rice, she was introduced to a handsome, well-to-do young doctor, medical doctor. He courted Miss Viola. One day he said, "Viola, I want you to be my wife. I believe God wants us to be husband and wife." And Viola Walden walked in. She said, "Give me a while to think about it." She walked in Dr. Rice's office one day. And she said, "Dr. Rice, could I ask you a question, please?" He said, "Yes." She said, "How long would you like me to work for the Sword of the Lord?" And Dr. Rice said, "Viola, I don't know how long I'll live. But," he said, "I'd like to think that you'll be with the Sword of the Lord all of my life." And Viola Walden said, "That's all I want to know." She walked back and she met the doctor with whom she had fallen in love. If there's such a thing, I don't know whom she loved anyway. And she said to the doctor, "I love you. But," she said, "I know what God wants me to do. I cannot marry you. Nor will I ever marry anybody. I'm not sure I know of a lady in this world that's done more for this nation than Viola Walden has. Behind the scenes there at the Sword of the Lord office, helping Dr. John Rice and the work there, gave a lifetime, and then a few years ago he went to heaven and she's still there now serving God." I mean, you see, we don't always understand it. It may be that God trains us for one thing, but God has something else in mind, and it may be the character of the training God gives us instead of the training itself. Illustration. Used it many times. Mrs. Bartell was a pastor's wife. Right in the middle of her husband's ministry. And all of a sudden, just like that, when they're right in the middle of their ministry, and the truth is, she married a little late in life, and right in the time when the flower was about to bloom,
in her husband's ministry.
Suddenly he was taken with a heart attack, dropped dead. She wrote me a letter. Dear Dr. Hiles, I believe in you. I love your ministry. My husband's gone to heaven now. She said, I'd like to move to Hammond if you would let me. If you'd get me just a room somewhere, I'd like to pray for you the rest of my life.
I'd like just to have a little room, and I'd like to get your schedule, and every time you're preaching, I'd like to get on my face and pray for you every time you're preaching.
She came to Hammond. We gave her a little apartment back here at the back of the church. Now she's up. She's senile now, and she's in a rest home. But for many years, every time I preached, Mrs. Bartell was on her face. So was my mama. I could not tell you how much I miss their prayers. What I'm trying to say, folks, is this. God knows what He's doing. Peter, quit your doubting.
Peter, you don't have to doubt. He knows what He's doing. You'll know afterwards. You don't have to know now. Peter said, oh, I don't understand it. I'm trained. You trained me yourself. I left my mama, left my daddy, left my family, left my job, left my friends, left my hometown, left my house, left everything.
Now then, I'm not going to get to use it. I've mentioned my sister often. There are a few women in this room more beloved than Earlene Stevens. A few people at the college are more loved than Earlene Stevens. One night, she waited for her husband to come home. He never came home. She did not know anything was wrong. Dinner on the table. He hasn't come home yet. She called me. I flew to Texas. We sat in the front yard on a summer night all night long that night. And I said, Earlene, God has something for you to do. She worked at the defense plant. I said, quit your job at the defense plant. Be somebody. And I guess at the age of 45 or so, she resigned her position, went to a Christian college, enrolled in the college, took some training. Now, for these years, she's been a valuable person at Hiles Anderson College. What am I saying? I'm saying we don't always know what God's training us to do.
Peter said, Lord, I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. Why? I mean, look, why can't I finish it? Why can't I complete it?
There's a third answer. My favorite of the three. First, the training may be for another task. Second, maybe the training itself may be the purpose. But there's a third. That third one is this. When God trains us, the only life that we're going to have to use that training is not here on earth. Did you hear what I said? There's another life.
And I believe that this book teaches that what we have been trained to do here, we can continue to do there.
I believe John Rice is running a paper right now in heaven. I mean that. I'm not kidding. I mean that. I think he's straightening Peter out right now with an article, headlines, why Peter should have eaten with those people when he got up there. I think he's got an article every week in his paper, why you American Baptists up here should have pulled out years ago. I think he's an editor. Did you ever wonder why we die about the time we learn enough to live? Did you ever wonder?
About the time we get smart enough to know what to do, we're gone. Kaplunk.
And leave a bunch of kids to run this world.
Hey, really? Think about it. You folks are 59 and older. Think about this. But it's true. Well, why would God spend a lifetime training us and teaching us and then take us on to heaven when we... By the way, one of the most tragic things in this country is how we've taken the people that know the most and stuck them in homes around the country and said, just rot, we don't care about you. And that's where the brains are in this country, while we little peanut heads are putting them away to rot somewhere and to pasture. And the truth is, we ought to get them out of there and use their minds. They can straighten this mess out we're in.
This is not all. God trains us. And if He trains us and we get to the place where we're just about ready and able and qualified to do something, all of a sudden we're gone. there's a heaven, and our work will continue in heaven. I want to say this very carefully. I want all you Howells Anderson students here now. I do not believe that the main reason for your training in college is to train you to go out here and pastor a church or be a missionary or be a music director or a Christian school teacher. I think that's only a temporary use of what you're learning. I think the greatest use of the education you're getting at Howells Anderson College will be used when you get in the look at the face of Christ, and He gives you responsibilities in heaven, and you get to heaven, you find that God finds out that you're trained to serve. The Bible says that there they serve Him day and night. I mean, they moonlight every night there. Serve Him day and night. I think our training here is so we can serve Him better there. We're not training you just to go out here till you die and build a church and preach your voice. We're training you to that's just the internship. I mean, service on this earth is the internship. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare Him a dwelling place there. And thanks be to God, the harder I study this book, and the more I pray, and the more I prepare, if I never get to use it, thank God I can use it there. Because God, let me use what I've learned here. Now, we're not going to get to heaven, all of us, a bunch of little robots, little paper dolls, cut out exactly like it is. That's not it. No, I've said this many times. You're going to go to heaven just as smart as you were when you left earth. And when you land in heaven, you're not all of a sudden going to memorize the whole Bible. You're going to be the same spiritual age, brother, when you walk into the glory land as you were when you left this place. And that's why a lot of you at 11:49 on Sunday morning who can't wait till I get through so we can go home, you're not going to enjoy heaven very much because you won't enjoy studying the Bible there. You won't serve God here. You won't serve Him there. I'm simply saying that God, in His mercy, that prepares us. And Peter said, Lord, why? Why can't I finish what I started? Why can't I complete what I started? Why are you going away? I can't go with you. You won't stay here. I'm trained. That's all. I don't understand it. Why? I'll tell you why, Peter. Whether you ever get to preach a sermon or not, you got to walk with Jesus for 3 years. You'll be a better man for it. That isn't all, Peter. You don't know why you're trained. God may have something for you different, like Mrs. Bartels, Mrs. Stevens, Paula Walden. Who knows? And thirdly, Peter, one day you'll be in heaven, and that's where you can fully utilize what you've learned here. There's an old illustration. With this I close. I've used it often here. I go back to this young man that spent 3.5 years at Howells Anderson College and was killed in a car wreck. I go back to him. Why? You think God led him to Howells Anderson College? Yes, I do. You think God allowed him to go on to heaven? Oh, yes, I do. God had a job open in heaven where he needed a fellow with Howells Anderson training. Bob Jones wouldn't do. Tennessee Temple just couldn't cut it. God said, I need a Howells Anderson graduate because I need a lot of noise and no sense. And I'll guarantee you, brother, before he sat down on a golden bench around a golden throne, I guarantee you God said, you're well qualified, fella. I got a job for you to do now, and I brought you up here to do it. Here's the illustration. Old, often used. I know football. Do you know football? Do you know football? You know what red dogging is? Good. That's getting a white dog and painting him red. Let's suppose you and I are sitting side by side the football game, 50-yard line. It's not Sunday, of course. 50-yard line, unless it's a Cowboys playing. 50-yard line. And all of a sudden, Cowboy player runs through. And Red Dogs, one of the opposite team that played in Houston today. Red Dogs, Houston player. Hey, look at that Red Doggy! She says, Red Dog? Red Dog? Where's Red Dog? Hey, doggy, where's Red Dog? We're sitting side by side. 50-yard line. Same ball game. I'm having time of my life. Here goes Dallas split end.
can't run.
She says, split in. My hair, that's split in. You know what split in is? Your hair, that you know what it is. That's right. That's right. Ask a question. Who's going to enjoy the ball game the most? I am. Same ball game. Same teams. Seats side by side. Who's going to enjoy it the most? I am. Why? Because I've read the rule book. I know the rules. I know the book. And many people are holding an unused wedding gown or an unused little baby dress or a couple of little baby shoes and looking at a little picture on a mantle with a bronze shoe beside it and saying, I've prepared for this. Why would God let me work so hard and long so long to be a mother? I never will be one. Why did God let me look forward to getting married? Now it looks like I'll never get married. Why did God let me prepare to be a wife and look forward to it within a week, less than a week of my wedding day, my fiancé died and I'm holding a why? In the first place, with God, there didn't have to be any why. But in case you want to why, it could be that God is training you for something else. Or it could be the training was an end in itself. But if none of that's true, I'll guarantee you, there's never a person trains one day in the service of Christ who won't get to use it on the other side. Our Heavenly Father, encourage our hearts today. And I pray for those this morning who needed what was said and those who do not need it but will need it later. May they put it in their file of memories and wait the day when they come to face a part of life when they feel they'll not get to use what they've learned. And when they feel that the completion of what they've started will not be known. I pray you'd help them to pull this message out of the file of memory. Remember it. And we thank you for heaven. Thank you that Mama's busy there today. Thank you, she's serving you and using everything she knew and learned here in the glory land. Our heads are bowed.